Bring forward the name of Mulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi, the name of Mulana Yus Rahmatullah Alayhi, you know, the name of all the elders, the names of the men come forward. But the piety of the women is hidden behind these people. It is mentioned about Mulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi's family. It says each and every woman of that family was a waliyah. He was only 11 years old. His grandmother was blind. And she used to say, "O Ilyas, what is it with me that I see the Sahaba walking with you?" So he's only 11. No scholar of the time, no elder, no sheikh, no mufti is recognizing Mulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi. But a woman from within the family is recognizing who he is. What effort Allah will take from him. So the women of that family were pious. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought pious men in the family. So we must realize the role that women play in all times. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, women played a great role in Islam. And similarly, in the time of Mulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi, the women of that family, they weren't normal women. It says, you know, there's a story about the women of that time. They were on a wedding. You know, if we were to look at our weddings, you know, how the women dress up, what the women talk about, what jewelry they are wearing, what is the environment of a wedding. And we look at the environment of the women of that time, the women of that family. Then why would people like Mulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi not be born? They were sitting down in a wedding, and rather than talking about clothes and the things of the world, they actually talked about deen. One of them said that what is happening to our families, why are we not getting pious children? So the rest gave their opinions. Some gave this opinion, some gave that opinion. So one girl or one woman, she gave the opinion that my opinion is that when we select a husband for our girls, we choose a doctor, we choose an engineer, we choose a lawyer, we choose someone with many houses, and big bank balances. So we choose the people of dunya. So obviously our children will become the people of dunya. So they all said, yes, what an amazing opinion. So what should we do? So one woman said, Mawlana Ismail Rahmatullah Alayhi, the father of Mawlana Ilyas. He has just become an alim. And he is in this locality, he has come. We should try to get a rishta for him from our generation. So mashallah, because of the fikr of a wedding, today, you know, zulmat spreads from weddings, bedini spreads from weddings, but this was the status of them women making mashra while they are having a feast of the wedding, and they say we should get someone married to Mawlana Ismail. So the match was made, and from them too, Allah brought Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi into the world. So the effort of Dawat, which is taking place throughout the world, in the four corners of the world, in the European countries, in the Asian countries, in the rich countries, in the poor countries, all over the world, jamaats are going. And who will get the reward? These few women who sat down and made mashra within the wedding. So we can see what women can do. No one realizes what they have done in this day and age. And even at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the first wahi, and he came back down with fever, and he was worried, what will happen, you know. They say the Prophet, especially our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was very humble. He would never say, "I will do," or I have got the capabilities, or "I am able to fulfill the responsibility that Allah has given me." He was very humble. So, you know, he came down and he was worried that Allah has sent wahi upon me, and he was shivering that what will happen to me and how will I fulfill this responsibility. Who was it that consoled him? Who was it that gave him the spirit again and the energy to stand up? It was his wife, Khadija radiallahu anha. She said to him, "You are honest, you are ameen, you look after the trust of other people. These are your qualities. Allah will not waste." So she gave him targhib. She was one of the richest women of that time. She was a businesswoman, but she spent all her riches upon the effort, upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and upon the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because of the qurbani of Khadija radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fed. So we see that the prophets whose wives were with them, the women took on the effort of deen with the prophet of the time, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread that shariat. The shariat of Musa alayhi salam spread because his wife was with him. The shariat of the prophet sallallahu alayhi salam spread because the wife was with him. And in Ibrahim alayhi salam's generation, hundreds of prophets came because both wives were with him. They were both giving sacrifices for the cause of Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread that shariat and spread the word of that prophet. And prophets like Lut alayhi salam and other prophets, Nuh alayhi salam, when their wives were not with them, their shariat or their deen did not spread. So we can see from this that it is not just the quality of the men, the quality of the prophets, but it is also the quality of their wives. The quality of Ibrahim alayhi salam's children was not just the quality of Ibrahim alayhi salam's blood, but it was the quality of Hajar alayhi salam and Sarah alayhi salam also. The quality of the generation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not just the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but it is also the quality of all the wives. When they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for some extra sustenance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed some ayats that if you desire the luxuries and the good of this world, then the Prophet may leave you and Allah will give him better wives. So all of them, they says, no, O Prophet of Allah, we want to stay with you and we are ready to go through these sacrifices. We are ready to go through hunger. We are ready to go through hardship, but we are not ready to leave you. So when the wives were with the prophets, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread the deen. So my dear sisters, we must realize that we are not just wives or mothers, but we are those women that carry out the effort of deen alongside our husbands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly stated in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ. Wherever he mentions a Muslim man, he mentions a Muslim woman. He mentions a truthful man, he mentions truthful women. He mentions those women who do sabr, then he mentions the men who do sabr, then he mentions the women also. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned women alongside men. It's a different thing that because of parda, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps them hidden. He doesn't mention their names in the Quran. But he has shown that the women of this ummah are also responsible for the effort of deen. Those women who will have the worry and concern of the ummah in their hearts, although they will not do massive lectures, the tartib of da'wat, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of their fikr which is instilled in their hearts, will be passed on to their children, and we shall see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will utilize their children to spread their worry and concern throughout the world, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala done with the family of Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullahi alayhi. So we must realize this. Maryam alayhi salam, she was told to stay quiet. Imagine that. A woman who is so pious, so pure, she spent all her life in worship. She spent all her life in worship. And people are saying that, how have you done zina? Was your brother like this? Your mother wasn't like this? So imagine what she went through. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling her, stay quiet, Maryam. And where, who puts forward her purity? Her son. Hajjaniya says, the woman who is pure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring forth some children, such children from her generation, that their words will prove the purity of the mother. So as soon as Isa alayhi salam was born, and when she pointed towards Isa alayhi salam, he said, Inni Abdullah, I am the servant of Allah. And he mentioned, you know, all the ayat of the Quran. So when the women are pure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring pure children, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring such youngsters in this ummah that people will be amazed. But it is all the fikr and the worry and the concern and the tarbiyah of the women. So my sisters, we have to realize whom we are. Of course, you know, we do fulfill the responsibilities of being a wife, of being a mother, you know, of cooking at home, looking after the home. These are all our responsibilities and necessities. But we have to realize that each and every one of us, we are responsible for bringing all the women of the world, all the men of the world unto complete deen. This is our responsibility. And there are pearls in the ummah which have gone astray. There are amazing women and amazing men scattered throughout the ummah with such qualities that we cannot imagine. But when we will make effort upon them, then we will see what kinds of women will come forward and what kind of men that will come forward through our efforts. Colonel Amiruddin usually mentions that woman that used to be a dancer and I gave her dawat and she changed. She used to be a dancer, she came into parda, and then when she is going on a journey on a bus, and the bus, you know, takes a corner and she holds on to something so she doesn't fall over, and her sleeve goes backwards, she writes to Colonel Amiruddin, or she phones Colonel Amiruddin, that my arm was visible on the bus, will Allah punish me for this? So a woman that was so far from Islam, when the effort of dawah takes place, when the effort of deen takes place, she reaches those heights of piety that for a split second her arm is visible to the people of the bus, and now this woman, she is worried. And who was she previously? She was a dancer. She was so far from Islam, but now she is worried that her arm is visible. So when we will carry out the effort of deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will utilize us for changing such people. There are hundreds and thousands of people in the world who don't know which way to go. Once this person, he asked an American, that don't you think the lifestyle you are living is far from Islam? You drink, you earn all week and you spend it all on the Friday and Saturday night, and then you work again. Some of you don't know who your father is. You don't have a family, a relationship. Don't you think the life you are living is wrong? So that American was quite sharp. He said, yes, of course we know it's wrong. But when we turn around to look backwards, to turn backwards, we see the Pakistanis following us. We see the Bangladeshis following us. We see the Saudis following us. We see all the nations of the world following us. Then we say we must carry on the race. Everyone is behind us. So when we Muslims will choose a lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we will see the nations of the world will come behind us. But if we choose their lifestyle, then how do we expect them to change? But they say, if the Muslim nations for years on end, they choose to turn their face away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. If you turn your faces unto me, then I will bring other nations in your place. ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. Then they will not be like you. And we have seen this many times in front of our eyes. When the Muslims, when we go away from Islam, the men or the women, we choose not to follow Islam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can utilize other nations to spread Islam. Because Islam will spread throughout the world. When we were in America, we had many tashkils in different mosques. And we were amazed to see that every third or fourth mosque we used to go to, the imam of the masjid was not a born Muslim. Imam of the masjid was not a born Muslim. He converted into Islam, reverted back to Islam, decided to go to different madaris, become alim, and now they are imams of the masjid with Pakistanis, Bangladeshis and Indians standing behind them. So Allah is showing in this very day and age that if you choose to use a different way, a different path, then I'm not in need of you. This Shaykh, we went, he was not a born Muslim, but his bayans in his Jummah was such that, all of us spent the whole Jummah crying. He's not a born Muslim. And we are a born Muslim sitting in front of him, and he's giving the lectures of Jummah, and he's giving us dawah. He gave his story, how he came into Islam, and the sacrifices he gave. He says, I had a very big bank. A very big bank, and I was a millionaire. Huge house, children in private schools, massive cars, all the luxuries of this world. And he goes, I came towards Islam. So he says, as soon as I came into Islam, I realized that this interest is clearly haram in Islam. So he said, I started asking different muftis, different alims. And he was saying, I was shocked to hear many of them saying, keep on going. Keep on going and set up. I was hearing this from one alim, the second alim, third alim. And I didn't know which way to go. A few of them said, leave it all together. So he said, I didn't listen to him. I just said, I'll leave it all together. So he goes, when I left it all together, everything was on interest. His house was on interest. His cars were on interest. As you go, everything went. My house went. My cars went. My children came out of private schools. I had completely nothing left. So he said, I borrowed some money. and I went to Hajj. He says, I went with this intention that I will get to Hajj and I will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, you have power over everything. And you know the sacrifices I have given. Everything has been taken away which was haram. Ya Allah, please replace that haram with halal. So give me the equal amount that has been lost in haram, replace it with the halal, so I can carry on doing the effort of thee. So he said, I got to the Kaaba. And I was many steps behind, and I was crying. He said, I was crying, and because he was very tall in height, he said, one of the security people near the Kaaba, he seen me. And he said, Sheikh, come forward. So I thought, he can't be talking to me, he must be talking to someone else. So I wouldn't go forward. So he said, he split the safs and came all the way through and grabbed my hand. And he said, he pulled me all the way forward, right in front of the Kaaba. And he said, ask for what you need. Make dua now. So he said, I was shocked. That from right from the back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought me right in front of the Kaaba. And I was getting ready to make my dua. Ya Allah, replace my haram that I have lost for your sake with halal. So this is the dua I was intending to make. So he said, before I raise my hands, there was an Arab youngster, 17, 18 years old. His beard hasn't even come out. He grabbed my hand. He says, uncle, please, before you make dua for yourself, make dua for me. So he says, I was shocked. Such a beautiful youngster. His beard hasn't even come out. And before I could make dua for myself, he grabs my hand and he says, uncle, make dua for me. So I says, dear son, what dua do you want me to make for you? So he says, uncle, I am about to go for jihad. Make dua, I become shaheed. So he said, I got the shock of my life that a 17-year-old boy is saying, make dua, I don't live in this world. So he said, I looked at him and I said, dear son, I cannot make this dua for you. The dua I will make for you is, Ya Allah, give this youngster a long life and accept him for the effort of deen and make him a means of guidance for many youngsters and many people to come. So he said, when I said this to the youngster looked back at me and he says, Uncle, if you will curse me, then I will also curse you. So I said, I'm not cursing you, I'm making dua for you. He said, you are cursing me with a long life. If you are cursing me with a long life, then I will curse you that Allah keep you stuck in this dunya forever and never give you death. So he said, I was amazed at that 17-year-old boy. His dua made me change my dua. Ya Allah, I've realized from this young boy, it's not how you live your life, it's how you end your life. He wants to become a shaheed. He wants his ending proper. So, Ya Allah, I will not ask for my money. I ask you for the knowledge of deen and accept me for the effort of deen. And he went into Medina University after that. And his talks were such amazing talks. Every single time he would give a karguzari, he would give a talk, and people would start crying. So Allah is showing that Americans who are born and bred in America, if we don't do the effort of deen, they will do it. This is a person who is running a bank, running a business. He is doing imamat. The woman who is dancing in a club, she is so worried that her arm is showing. So the men and the women of the kuffar are coming towards Islam and showing us how to practice Islam. So my dear brothers and sisters, we must realize that Allah is not in need of us. If we will not carry out the effort of da'wah, then Allah will not make us a mean of the nations of the world. Now it's different, of course, you know, we have to do the effort within our locality. But we also have to think worldwide, that there are humans all over the world who are thirsty, who want a way out, who want a way to live, but they don't know which is the true path. And you and I, we have got this true path, so we must take it upon ourselves and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept us for the effort of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the worry of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our children. When we will give sacrifices, the men and the women together, we have a hope that inshallah our coming generations, they will stay firm upon Islam and they will be a means of bringing the non-Muslims into Islam. The non-Muslims will come. Mawlana Sayyid Ahmed Khan Sahib, once he was making dua, holding the Kaaba and making dua, Ya Allah, please you give Ummat Hidayat. Please you bring the nations of Islam unto Hidayat. But he was told in a dream that this is not the time. The Muslims cannot look after them. We are not frequenting the masjids. We are not giving time for Islam. So how will we teach them Islam? So my dear sisters, we make intentions again and again that our purpose of living is to spread Islam. When we will make this our purpose, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make our necessities and our sustenance easy and utilize us for spreading Islam, inshallah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. to make this intention, inshallah. SubhanAllah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.